Hello and welcome to a special for children only Christmas edition of Digital Flotsam. I'm P.W. Fenton. And by children only, I mean to say for anyone who loves this time of year as much as a child. So physical age really isn't an issue here, only your spiritual age. And for my Jewish friends, well, this is a Christmas show, but hey, isn't Christmas about the birth of a really famous Jew? Hanukkah Harry should be so famous. Something old, something new, something borrowed, something blue. I know that's meant for weddings, but that's sort of the way this episode is put together. Sort of.
Sunset Strip. Somebody's gonna make a happy trip tonight while the moon is bright. He's gonna have a bag of crazy toys to give the corners of the girls and boys. So day Santa comes on big. You come a calling when the snow's the most, when all your cats are sleeping warm as toast, and you flip when old Saint Nick lays a lick on a peppermint stick. He come a flying from a higher place. He filled a stocking by the fireplace. So you have a Yule-Dazzle.
Louis Armstrong was one of the most endearing ambassadors of American music we have ever had. And if he were alive today, I think he would be all over new media. Even in his day, he was a bit of a geek. He bought himself one of the earliest home tape recorders and was obsessed with recording everything that went on in his Corona, Queens home. Well, in 1971, not long before his passing, he switched on his tape recorder and recorded this classic poem.
This is Louis Satchmo Armstrong talking to all the kids from all over the world at Christmas time. 'Twas the night before Christmas when all through the house not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. The stockings were hung by the chimney with care in hopes that Saint Nicholas soon would be there. The children were nestled all snug in their beds, while visions of sugar plums dance in their heads. And Mama in her kerchief and I in my cap had just settled our brains for a long winter's nap. Well, out on the lawn there arose such a clatter, I sprang from my bed to see what was the matter. Away to the window I flew like a flash, tore open the shutters and threw up the sash. The moon on the breast of the new fallen snow gave a luster of midday to objects below, when what to my wondering eyes should appear but a miniature sleigh and 8 tiny reindeer. The little old driver, so lively and quick, I knew in a moment it must be Saint Nick. More rapid than eagles, his coursers they came, and he whistled and shouted and called them by name. Now Dasher, now Dancer, now Prancer and Vixen, on Comet, on Cupid, on Dunder and Blitzen, to the top of the porch, to the top of the wall. Now dash away, dash away, dash away all. As dry leaves that before the wild hurricane fly, when they meet with an obstacle, mount to the sky. So up to the housetop, the coursers they flew, with the sleigh full of toys and St. Nicholas, too. And then, in a twinkle, I heard on the roof the prancing, the pawing of each little hoof. As I drew my head and was turning around, down the chimney St. Nicholas came with a bound. He was dressed all in fur from his head to his foot, and his clothes were all tarnished with ashes and soot. A bundle of toys he had flung on his back, and he looked like a peddler just opening his pack. His eyes, how they twinkled. His dimples, how merry. His cheeks were like roses. His nose, like a cherry. His droll little mouth was drawn up like a bow, and the beard on his chin was as white as the snow. The stump of a pipe he held tight in his teeth, and the smoke it encircled his head like a wreath. He had a broad face and a little round belly that shook when he laughed, like a bowl of jelly. He was chubby and plump, a right jolly old elf. And I laughed when I saw him, in spite of myself. A wink of his eye and a twist of his head soon gave me to know that I had nothing to dread. He spoke not a word, but went straight to his work and filled all the stockings, then turned with a jerk. And laying his finger aside of his nose, and giving a nod up the chimney, he rose. He sprang to his sleigh, to his team, gave a whistle, and away they all flew like the down on a thistle. But I heard him exclaim ere he drove out of sight, "Happy Christmas to all, and to all a good night, a very good night." And that goes for Satchmo, too.
The greatest Christmas I ever experienced came when I was around 6 or 7 years old. It was completely filled with magical moments. It was not only Christmas Eve, but it was snowing outside. It had started around sundown and got heavier every hour. A thick coat of white covered everything. It was early evening when the doorbell rang. There was something strange about it. I couldn't tell you why, it just seemed odd. I looked at my mom. She sort of shrugged and said, "Well, go see who it is." I ran to the front door. Like all kids, I didn't walk anywhere, I just ran. I opened the door, and to my surprise, there was nobody there. Thinking that maybe somebody was hiding just out of sight, I stepped out onto the porch. Not being dressed to be outside in a snowstorm, a shiver ran through my body. But the shiver had less to do with the cold and more to do with what I noticed, or rather, I didn't notice, on the walkway that led to our front door. There were no footprints in the snow. I looked around the porch and realized the only footprints on the porch were my own. As I nervously turned back towards the front door, I saw it. An enormous red Christmas stocking, the kind made out of that stiff mesh. The biggest one I had ever seen, and it was jam-packed with all kinds of cool-looking toys and gadgets and candy. It was standing up in the open metal milk box next to my front door, and it had my name written across the cardboard label stapled to the top. The magic had begun. Thank you. Unlike the last 364 nights when I constantly argued and protested, on this particular night, I was eager to go to bed. The idea being that the sooner I got to sleep, the sooner I would wake up and it would be Christmas morning. My parents were only too happy to oblige. I shared the upstairs bedroom with my parents and my baby sister. My bed was right next to a window that looked to the rear of the house. I lay there for hours, eager to fall asleep, but too full of nervous energy and excitement to succeed. So I just stared. I stared at the dimly lit pictures that adorned the wall next to my bed. Ever since I saw a real freight train go by one summer day, just a few feet from the tracks, I was obsessed with them. The wall next to my bed was covered with pictures of giant locomotives. Eventually, I just stared through the window at the stars twinkling overhead. That's when I saw him. Way, way up in the sky, almost too far to see, there he was, unmistakable because of the red light shining from his nose. It was Rudolph, leading Santa's sleigh through the night sky. It was too far away and too dark to make out the sleigh or the other reindeer, but there was no doubt in my mind that the source of that red glow meant he was coming, and my parents had told me if I was awake, he would never stop at my house. I closed my eyes tightly and begged sleep to come. Downstairs, I heard my father coming into the house. He had been at the local church for a Christmas service. He was in the choir. I could hear him say to my mother, "Do you think he's awake? I've got to tell him what I just saw." He started up the stairs. I was determined to make him think I was asleep. I had seen it too, and I was so afraid that being awake was going to ruin everything. He sat on the edge of the bed. I could feel the cold coming off his coat. He called to me. I opened my eyes. He said, "Guess what I just saw when I was walking home from church?" I answered, "Rudolph? No, something way better than that." I told him about how just a little while ago I thought I saw Rudolph high up in the sky. He said, "You must have, because just now, as I was walking down the street in the snow, just a few houses away from ours, I saw Santa Claus walking down the middle of the street in the opposite direction." Years later, I learned that this was no fib. He actually saw jolly Saint Nick with a white beard, a red suit trimmed with white fur, walking down the opposite side of the street, walking quietly through the snow. He watched him turn up a neighbor's driveway and disappear into the house. He arrived home as excited as a child and wished I had been there to see it. I was even more terrified now that I had caused him to skip our house because I was awake. My father assured me that it wouldn't be a problem and that Santa wouldn't get to us until well after everyone in the house, including him, was asleep. My father went back down the stairs and I fell asleep within minutes. I woke up early in the morning, before the sun, and I could hear something downstairs. It wasn't like a person or anything. It was more of a steady noise that seemed to get louder and then get softer and get louder and then get softer. It was no noise that I had ever heard before. I looked over at my parents' bed. They were sitting up in bed, smoking cigarettes. I told them in excited tones that I could hear something downstairs. They said they could hear it too. What did I think it was? I told them that I didn't know, but I bet it had something to do with Christmas. It seemed like an eternity before I was allowed to dash out of the bedroom and run down the stairs to shouts of, "Don't run!" But there was no stopping me. I don't think my feet ever touched a step. As I hit the floor and turned towards the living room, there was the source of the unusual noise. Steadily circling the Christmas tree was a huge set of American Flyer electric trains, with houses, trees, a crossing gate, a bridge, the works. Santa clearly did come to 99 Cannon Avenue. And it was the best Christmas any kid ever had.
I'm here in the home of Kimberly Thompson. She's gathered her family together for a lovely dinner party, and here's her thoughts.
What the hell kind of interview was that? You're supposed to ask me questions, right? Isn't that what an interview is?
This is typical of the sort All of right. response my wife would give to such a question, but I, on the other hand, would say that I'm having a lovely evening with many of the family here present, and we've been dining since approximately 3:30, and it now is almost 6:30. Lovely. Thank you.
What a really fine interview that was. All right, now we'd like to sit down with my favorite
daughter, Billy.
Hello, the name's Billy O'Fenton.
You must be my Anglo daughter.
Yes, that would be right.
As opposed to my Italian daughter.
Yes, I am not Italian in any way.
Shape or form.
Form.
Because Italians are unencumbered by reality.
Liar. Liar. Traditore.
All right, so tell me what your New Year's resolution is.
My New Year's resolution is to become queen of all I survey.
Oh my God. And what would that be?
It's a big, my bedroom. Wide, wonderful world you live in. Something. You could be queen of all your surveys.
I have a week to think about resolutions. I haven't really decided on any yet.
Yeah. Oh, did I tell you about mine?
No, what would yours be?
Mine is going to be no alcohol till I reach my goal weight.
Wow. Wow.
That's pretty heavy duty.
And my hope is that it will take about a week. Yes, I'm thinking that... In about 1 week, I could lose 30, 40 pounds.
Is that how much longer you have to mommy's
born? Yeah.
What are you supposed to get down to?
Oh, I set my own goal. I only have to lose 10 more pounds to make the doctor happy.
Yeah.
But I want to go about 30, 40 more.
Wow.
Kim.
Yes?
How about your New Year's resolution?
I haven't thought about a New Year's resolution either.
Why don't you just make one up on the spot?
I don't know, I'm pretty perfect the way I am. Wait, Billy, could you
She
make one?
Is Italian.
And she is unencumbered by reality.
Right, here you go, Billy, if there was something I needed to work on, what would it be?
That overinflated self-image.
It's my overinflated.
Wait, you know, I'm thinking to myself, if I could change one thing, it would be Kim.
So there you have it, a kid-safe Christmas edition of Digital Flotsam. That last bit of audio was recorded right after a Christmas dinner at my Italian daughter's home in 1999. As you could easily tell, we were feeling no pain. For details and information about the music you heard in this show, go to digitalflotsam.org and look for a link to the show notes for this episode.
And P-Dub holded the microphone.